We are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike's a chartered retirement planning counselor. He's a certified fund specialist offering securities to Linsco Private Ledger, a member of NASD and SIPC. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, good morning.
Mike, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, I got something I have to run by you here. This is the quote of the week, I think, and this came earlier this week. It was from the CEO of Lowe's, and you're aware that they reduced their guidance for not only this year but for next. And
right.
he was, I think, addressing analysts and investors at a conference they were holding in Charlotte, and he attributed this situation, having to lower his outlook, to the credit situation in the housing slump. And he was asked by somebody attending this, I don't know who it was, if he would hazard a guess as to when the housing market will bottom out. And here's his quote. He said, "The only thing that's consistent is the inaccuracies of the economic forecasts."
Oh, amen to that. I mean, that's true. And, well, that's interesting. It also goes back to, it goes back to last year when you and I first started talking about this housing situation, and our belief back then that it was going to really get rough, and it was just amazing to me the number of folks during all that time that just consistently came out with housing's bottomed, it's stabilizing, we think we've seen the worst, all these kinds of comments and positions by certain people. And well, it's like I told you after one of the shows back in December. I said, if housing doesn't get bad in 07, I will wonder if I even have a clue about anything, because it was just so clear to us that housing was going to run into some major problems this year, and we are in the thick of it now. I mean, it is no question happening. And a lot of the people that were thinking things weren't going to get any worse last year have clearly come around now to seeing how serious this problem is and the situation that housing is in right now.
Yeah, and there's so many that have been consistently wrong ever since last October.
Yeah, now you have to bear in mind, too, and I'm not going to get into any specifics here. I'd just prefer not to, but some of the people that are quoted in the media, in newspapers, magazines, whatever, giving faults on what they think is going to happen in housing, some of those people and some of those entities you pretty much have to ignore anyway, because they pretty much have the same line all the time, and you just can't consider anything they say regarding the future and take it seriously. And I'll just leave it at that. And some of these other folks, I think they clearly had a thesis as to why they thought housing was pretty much not going to get any worse towards the end of last year, and they were just wrong. And you can't, when someone makes their best effort and puts a thesis together and says, here's why we think housing will get better in 07, and it does not happen, well, they just got it wrong. And we get things wrong, too, and we'll get some things wrong in the future, but it just so happens the housing situation is one of the things that we've really gotten right here for over a year now. So, and that's why I think it's so tricky and so difficult for people to, in anything related to whether it's housing or the economy or the stock market or crude oil prices or anything like that. I think that's why it's difficult for folks who are not in the economic game every day or in the investment business or what have you to listen to folks on a casual basis and really be able to distinguish who they should maybe listen to and who they should ignore. And it's pretty tough, and it takes a lot of years even for us to sort out who we want to listen to and who we want to ignore.
Yeah. Well, I know over the past year who I'm not going to listen to.
Well, we won't get into that.
Anyway.
Or I won't get into that.
No, nor will I. But okay. Anyway, the Fed cut rates last week, and when we talked last Friday morning, I guess it was, you said that, and of course, we saw a rally after that. We saw the market, I think the word you used was euphoric.
Yeah.
And you said that you thought very likely they deal with that euphoria over the course of this week. What's your take on that now? Did they deal with it? And if how?
We've started the process. Excuse me. We've started the process, I think. And to be specific, well, I tell you what, I was going to go through a lot of home building stocks, but maybe we'll bring it closer to home and just look at Mohawk. When the Fed lowered rates last week on that Tuesday, Mohawk was right around the 84 level, somewhere right in there, and immediately shoots up to about 89 in a big hurry. And on a percentage basis, that's a pretty good little move in just a few hours. And ever since then, all it's done is pretty much go down. And let me punch it up here. It's just below 82 right now, if I'm not mistaken, or where it closed yesterday. Yeah, 81.79. So, and again, it was around 89 or so at the peak right after the Fed lowered interest rates last week. So that's just one example of a stock that it went up a lot right after the Fed lowered interest rates, and now not only has it gone back to where it was before they lowered rates, it's even lower than it was before they lowered rates. Now, that's interesting. And if you also look, and I won't get into the details with this, but if you look at several home building stocks, just go punch them up, you'll see the vast majority of those are the same situation. Not only are they back where they started before the Fed lowered rates, they're below that.
And what is that, Mike? Is that people trying to get on the boat at the bottom?
Well, in other words, why did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's... The thing we have to keep in mind, I think, is when the Fed lowers interest rates in a stress situation, like we're clearly in now with the credit markets and certain parts of the bond market and the mortgage markets and all those things we've talked about, speaking of getting things wrong, if you remember when you and I talked before the Fed meeting, I thought the Fed would lower rates a quarter of a percentage point. And I was even in the camp a month previous to that they might not even lower rates at all. And as we got closer to the meeting, I did say I think they will go ahead and lower rates, and it'll be a quarter percentage point. And I changed my stance on that a little bit because the credit markets really deteriorated in a hurry. And then we got that jobs report that I don't get all excited about anyway, but it was so much lower than so-called expectations that I thought it would give the Fed more room to go ahead and lower rates. What I think happened was when they lowered rates 50 basis points, a full half percentage point, and it's just my opinion, I think a lot of people were so surprised by that the initial knee-jerk reaction is for stocks that have been hurt the most by the prevailing crisis situation, so to speak, they tend to bounce the most, the quickest, when you get a response to the problem. And, of course, the response to the problem was when the Federal Reserve lowered rates a half percentage point. And some of the move up that day in just a few hours in some of these home building stocks, some of the financials was amazing how much they went up in a hurry. And as is typically the case, you get this euphoric knee-jerk reaction and folks get all excited and optimistic and they tend to think that the problem's all of a sudden fixed. And invariably, and this is what we were talking about last time we talked, is this week I thought would be the week when the market would settle down, folks would begin to realize again that the Fed didn't lower rates because everything's all peachy. You know, there's problems out there.
That's right.
And it took a long time to get into these problems, and it's going to take a long time to resolve them, in my opinion. And I think this week has been people realizing that, and I'll say coming to their senses again, so to speak, or getting back into reality. And some of the home building stocks are considerably lower than they were when they spiked after the Fed cut rates that day. They are considerably lower.
Uh-huh.
And some of the financials are, too. I won't say considerably lower, but most of the financial stocks are pretty much back where they were before the Fed did anything.
Uh-huh.
So that that's the process that we were talking about when you and I talked a week ago, and it's happening. So the stocks that were affected the most by this are already getting worse than they were before the Fed lowered rates.
Yeah.
So that tells us something. And, of course, the key, I think, will be this coming week when we see if the overall market begins to get concerned about this again or not. I think in the next week or two, I think we're going to see the overall market wrestle with this issue too. And then if it begins to develop, then of course we'll take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, Mike. It seems like nothing can affect this market in a downward way here of late. It seems like no matter what, it just seems to roll along famously.
Yeah, I would agree with that characterization, and it's pretty interesting. The market has had so many things thrown at it, going back to February, when we had the big down day in the market last February. We had the rough time in the market this summer when the Dow came down from that 14,000 record, and triggered by housing and the credit markets and all that, subprime and that stuff. And here we are pretty much right back where we were. Not quite, but close enough. And you're correct in characterizing this market in that manner. And the thing that's so tricky about that and that's causing us a little bit of anxiety is, and this is not a prediction, I think it's something people need to think about. Sometimes the market will act this way in the face of turmoil and problems, and it's a very, very healthy sign. In other words, it's the market saying it can get past this problem and that the problem's not a big overreaching problem and the market's onward and upward. Now, other times, though, you'll see the market acting this way in a time of turmoil or crisis, and it's just that the market is going to wake up one day and realize that there's all sorts of problems that matter. And part of what we saw this summer, I think, was all those people you and I just talked about earlier in the discussion here that did not think housing was going to be a problem, and the market just kept chugging along as if it wasn't going to be, then all of a sudden this summer it hits the fan, and housing's a big, big problem. And the market had to deal with that, and we saw how it chose to deal with that. And now here we are again. And again, I think it ties back into what we just talked about with even mentioning Mohawk and the other housing stocks and some of the financials. These stocks are worse off than they were before the Fed lowered rates. And to me, what I want to watch for next week and the following week, also into the meat of earnings, by the way, but what we want to watch for is to see if what these stocks have demonstrated, well, if it begins to bleed over into the overall market and economic expectations. And if it does, I think the market's going to have to deal with it, and it could get pretty interesting.
I see. We talked about earnings last week. They're not that far away. We saw, as mentioned earlier, Lowe's and Target, too, lower their guidance. Do you suspect we're going to see a lot more people do this before we see these earnings come out?
Well, if we don't see it before earnings come out, I think we'll see it when they do come out. I expect some reductions in expectations with various sectors in the market. Maybe not technology, and that's another discussion, not relevant to the show. But in various sectors, I think we'll begin to see that as the consumer begins to be stressed a little bit with what's going on in housing, with what's going on in crude oil prices, and gas prices have lagged this increase in crude oil prices of late. Not a total surprise to us, but I don't know that lag can stay that way, which would mean if crude oil continues onward and upward here, that gas would probably start catching up to it at some point. And when you get all these other factors going on, it's just hard for me to believe that the consumer... That's not to say the consumer is going to fall off a cliff. I've mentioned on the show over the years, I'm not the best in the world at predicting consumer behavior anyway, or consumer spending, I should say. But in any event, I don't think you're going to see a robust consumer here for a while, and I think we'll have to deal with that.
So we're seeing crude up over 80. I can't remember exactly where it closed.
Almost 83.
Almost 83. Gasoline has to follow then. It's just a matter of when?
It has to some degree. And we've talked about this over the last few shows. Gas is nowhere near where the math would tell you it should be, considering where crude oil is right now. Gas is much lower than it was when crude oil was almost $20 a barrel lower back in the spring. And there's all sorts of reasons for that. And we can basically explain away the majority of this difference, but the rest of it is a little tricky to try to explain, I think. And something will have to give here soon, I think. And what I think we'll probably see is gas prices begin to inch on up here. And as far as crude oil, I mentioned last time we talked, I just didn't have a good feel for it either way, and I didn't. And it's moved on up here. And I'll have to tell you now, I would not want to bet that the next big move is down. I'll put it that way. It's acting in a different way from my perspective than it typically does or typically has when it's made these kinds of up moves. And with the different way it's acting in this up move, I don't know if it means that it won't drop this time, that the next big move will be even higher or not, but I would lean that way. So it'll be interesting, I think, in crude oil for the next 2 to 4 weeks anyway.
I got you.
I would not want to bet on a big down move at the moment.
I see. You had mentioned the jobs report a little bit earlier, and we're going to be seeing that a week from today. And I can remember some of the things that you said the last report that came out a month ago, and you mentioned that it unfolded, you know, as the day went forward. Remind us again about that, if you would, and what your thoughts are about this upcoming report, which, as you mentioned, isn't something that's on the top of the list that you pay attention to,
to. And I think it's important to talk about that because the media just goes bananas over this jobs report, and the market does sometimes as well. And I think it's pretty much ridiculous, just to be blunt about it. Now, as I mentioned last time, I'm not saying jobs are not important. Jobs are clearly important. One of the most important things at the moment, I think, as far as the economy is concerned. But what I'm getting at is this particular report that comes out the first Friday of each month, and it's the how many jobs were created or lost for the previous month. And you get into expectations, and does the report come in above or below, and all this sort of stuff. And what we talked about last time this report came out, before it came out, was number one, I didn't have the ability to predict it, but number two, I didn't really care much about how it came out anyway. And fortunately for me, it was a perfect example of why I feel that way. That report came out, as you remember, expectations I think were just over 100,000 jobs created, and it came in basically flat to negative, as I remember.
It was off by 4,000, I think.
Yeah, okay. And all of a sudden the market, you know, goes all crazy and doesn't like it and all this sort of thing. And here comes all the recession talk. And that worry and angst and all that lasted all of just a few days. And the market was right back where it started before the report came out. And it was onward and upward. So, and my point there is, if that report is so important and so meaningful to the market, why did it ignore it 3 or 4 days later as if it never happened? And that's my point there. So when this report comes out Friday, I won't predict it, and I really won't spend a lot of time concerning myself with it. And the last time it came out is just a classic example of why.
I see. Well, we're likely to see a revision, as I think we did. We saw two revisions last time.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that because I completely forgot it. See, that's the other reason why. It'll come out. It'll just be revised anyway. So why get all excited about something that will be revised later anyway? So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot about that aspect of it. And yes, the last one that came out, the two previous reports were revised. So take that for what it's worth. And if as I tell folks sometimes, if you want to get excited about that report, go ahead.
I think they need a new computer system or something at the Commerce Department.
Yeah, well, they need something. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, a new something anyway.
They need something. And, of course, some people take the view something sooner is better than waiting until later, and I don't agree with that at all. I take the view if you're just going to revise this thing to the degree that they do at times, wait another month to come out with it. but they've never asked me what I think, so take that for what it's worth.
Okay. Now, we've been talking about housing, well, every time we've had you on here, I guess over the last years, we've been talking about housing, and you've been saying the housing market is going to get worse for a year now, almost a full year, I think.
Yes.
Now it seems there's a whole lot of people jumping on your bandwagon saying that things are getting worse and they're going to get even worse before they get better. Have you changed anything about the way you feel about this?
No, it's same stance. I have not seen one little piece of evidence anywhere, and believe me, I would tell you if I had, because we're looking for it. But not only have I not seen even one little thing to make me think maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel soon, I've actually seen many of the things we've been tracking get worse. And so that's just leads us to the same stance we've been in. And it's just one of those things. You have every single element going on in housing that could be a negative impact going on right now. It's not just a few things, and you know, offset by positive things. I don't see anything out there that looks good about housing. And the supply of homes continues to go up. The pace of foreclosures is continuing to go up, and I see no reason to think that it won't get even worse. Interest rates and mortgages on the 15-year and 30-year mortgages are up, not down. There's nothing. The only little sliver out there I think that's a positive is when the Fed cut interest rates, it dropped the prime rate, and a lot of these mortgages or lines of credit and these other things are tied to prime. So in some cases, when folks reset, their reset won't be quite as high. But the problem is, it's just a reset going to a considerably higher rate than what they currently have to a very high rate. It's just not that much difference in the whole scheme of things. So that's the only little blip, I guess, I've seen of something that's going to be something moving in the right direction. But at the margin, it's not even going to be an impact.
I got you. I'm almost afraid to ask you this next question. We're at the beginning of the fourth quarter. What's the history book tell you about the month of October?
Well, the month of October is the one that gets the headlines for when the biggest crashes in the market have happened, you know, over the years. And, of course, the crash of 87, Black Monday, was in October. And there have been other times in the market that Octobers have been pretty rough. But you know what I'm going to say next, David. That doesn't mean anything. If we have a bad market this month, it won't be because it's the month of October. It'll be other reasons. And just because it's October doesn't mean we can't have a good month either. So it just doesn't carry much weight with me either way. Anytime we've had problems in October, there have always been factors involved that are not in place right now anyway. So it'll be talked about, but it's not gonna dictate what the market does this month either way.
I've got you. I'm just wondering, looking forward into the fourth quarter, all the things that we've seen over the past couple of weeks, the Fed coming in and surprisingly dropping the discount rate, they added a lot of money to the system, they then come back and cut the funds rate, housing seems like it's gone from bad to worse, all the credit market situation, of course. What are we looking at going into the fourth quarter? What do we even expect?
Well, I wish I knew. We are literally taking things pretty much on a day by day, week by week case right now. And you know, oftentimes on the show, I'll mention some things are important for traders, some things are important for investors, and you have to look at things differently depending on which one of those you are. But we're in a situation right now, I think, that there are things brewing out there that if they don't go the right way, not only will they be important to traders, they'll also be significant things to investors as well. Because some of the things brewing out there, if they aren't contained and managed to a large degree in the economy, they are things, and I'm talking housing here and some other things, they are things that aren't historically fixed in a hurry. So we're pretty much in that mindset. And what makes this such a tricky time, in my view, is and you mentioned it earlier, we've had all these things brewing out there, and they've hit the market, but they've just been kind of temporary type things. The next thing you know, the market's onward and upward again. And we had this same type behavior this time last year in the market. And we talked about it month after month, where the market just went up and up and up and just had very little pullback. And the question is that's what is that setting up again right now? And it may be. I don't know yet. We're going to monitor it and really look at how the market acts here the next couple of weeks as these earnings come out, as we get a flavor from companies about whether or not they have seen problems related to the last two or three months. And one specific thing I'll mention, and you mentioned it earlier about Target, the decrease in guidance from Lowe's was not a surprise at all, and I think that's why it didn't really affect the overall market that much anyway. But Target is an interesting situation because, or at least one reason to me it's interesting, is for several months Walmart was having some problems, and people were concluding that the weakness in Walmart was Walmart specific, that it wasn't something you could extrapolate to the overall economy. And they were saying one of the reasons they felt that way was Target was doing well, and that Target was getting some market share from Walmart, and that Walmart was having problems because of Target to some degree. And I think there was certainly validity to that. But what's interesting now is now Target's having some issues with same-store sales being much lower than expected. So the question is that just a temporary thing related to retail in general, or is that Target now telling us that it's not a Walmart-specific problem, it's going to be other retailers having the same problem? And if they do, then all of a sudden we've got consumer issues. And if that's the case, floor covering, I would think, would be definitely affected in a negative way by that development. So that's why that Target issue, we're not extrapolating it completely yet, but that has our attention a little bit, just because it may be telling us something that we could not necessarily draw from what Walmart told us for months, if you follow me there.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Now, I realize that housing isn't really central to consumer spending. Obviously, there's a big element there, but a lot of it really is independent of what happens in the housing market. Having said that, it seems like with all the discussion about inventory and the incredible amounts of inventory that we're seeing in the market, and it seems to me that until that inventory comes down, there's no way in the world the housing market is going to turn around.
Well, I agree.
No matter what. So, I mean, doesn't that govern to a great extent what can happen in the economy? Aren't we saying that we're going to be in the doldrums until at least we see some light at the end of the tunnel in this whole inventory situation?
Well, I mean, that's what I would think, and I will admit I'm a little surprised that this whole housing issue has not affected the market, one. Now, obviously, it affected the market big time a few weeks ago, but here we are again, you know, where we are now in the market. So I think it's safe to say that it didn't really affect the market that much. But I will be surprised greatly if the problems in the housing market overall, I'll be surprised if they don't affect the overall economy in a hurry. And we may see evidence of that in the next month. And if we do, I think we're in a different mindset than the market is in at the moment. And at the moment, the market seems to think, other than in those financial stocks, and we mentioned Mohawk and home building stocks, the rest of the market has done pretty well since the Fed lowered rates, and it was doing well before then anyway to a large degree. So I think at this moment the market is of the opinion that this housing issue is just not going to be an overreaching problem any more than it already is, and it's dealt with it. And I just find it hard to believe that that's going to be the correct stance here in the next month or two. Now, I could be dead wrong, and if I am, we'll certainly talk about it. But that's what we're watching for, is for any sign that the market is changing that stance. And the Target news, while we don't want to go too crazy on just one company, But more and more retailers have been guiding down sales guidance, and it'll be real interesting the next week or two to see if that really gets going or not. And then finally, you had asked me what we are looking at. The other thing that makes this incredibly interesting to me, compared to other times in the past when you have any sort of difficult situation in the market or the economy, is this global growth. Some of these foreign countries are just, it's incredible how much their economies are growing. And I won't get into specifics here, but since the low in the summer, since the low in the markets in the summer, many of these foreign markets are up 15, 20, 30% from the lows. And that's just incredible. So when you add this global dynamic to everything we're talking about, there is a camp of people out there that are convinced that with the global growth like it is, and with a lot of companies in this country benefiting from that global growth, that the U.S. economy can slow to a fairly large degree, even to levels that historically would cause all sorts of problems in this country. Those folks are of the opinion that we could even go to those levels with the economy here, and it may not affect those companies that much. And we're wrestling with that as well. I'm not ready to buy into that hook, line, and sinker yet, but it certainly is something that needs to be considered, because it may have some validity.
Very interesting.
It is an interesting time, that's for sure.
Yeah. And we're going to have to leave it there, Mike. We're out of time here. It's always a pleasure having you on, and I'll keep you on call all next week. Who knows what's going to happen?
That's the truth. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, Mike, have a good weekend.
You too, Doug.
We've been talking with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management, and this is Floor Radio.